It's June 21st, 2009. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is George Shillington, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University, a university of the Church for the World. Please join me in prayer. O God, who would fold both heaven and earth into a single piece, let the design of your great love demolish the waste of our wraths and sorrows and give peace to your church, peace among nations, peace in our dwellings, and peace in our hearts, through thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gloria in excelsis Deo.
That was Gloria, sung by the CMU Singers. Our theme is Recognizing True Authority, and the scripture text is taken from the Book of Exodus. Our speaker today is Dr. Waldemar Jansen, Professor Emeritus at CMU.
Recently, one of our church members asked me, "What persons in the Bible would you consider as heroes?" My answer was quick. "Nobody," I said. "There are no heroes in the Bible." Perhaps that was a bit abrupt, but it expresses my well-considered conviction. If we understand by hero a person who is to be held high for astonishing achievements that elevate him or her above others, then no biblical character fits the bill. The same is true of the related contemporary concept of star or even superstar. The Bible does not invite us to hero worship. But what about Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, the prophets, the apostles, evangelists, and others? Are they not to be models for us? Are they not given to us so we might learn from them or even imitate them? Certainly we should learn from them. But imitating them is another matter. First, every Bible reader soon notices that the outstanding biblical characters are far from role models. There is at least as much in the life of David, for example, that should teach us what not to do, as there is of role modeling for us. In other words, he, like most others I named, is as much an anti-model for us as a model. The second problem in simply imitating is that it may obscure the uniqueness of many biblical characters. Take, for example, the call of Moses at the burning bush, the widely known story of how God called him to confront Pharaoh and to lead Israel out of Egyptian slavery. Should we conclude that every believer, like Moses, ought to look for his or her little burning bush story or some such striking address by God? Would that not greatly trivialize the momentous, history-shaping call of God to Moses? And yet, the burning bush story does have a message for all of us, and we will come to that in 3 weeks. During these 4 Sundays, I invite you to consider with me some aspects of the life of Moses as presented in the book of Exodus. Next to Jesus, Moses is the figure who receives most attention in the Bible, and the biblical accounts of him invite us to consider him God's model servant in the Old Testament. We can learn much from his story about the modeling role of biblical characters for us. Today we start with Moses' childhood story, familiar to most Bible readers. He is born in a time of persecution. Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, has ordered that all baby boys born to his slaves, the Hebrew people, be drowned in the Nile because he fears their rapid increase in numbers. Moses' mother hides him in a basket among the reeds of the riverbank, posting his older sister as a guard nearby. A desperate plot, one mother's ingenious attempt to save her child from a ruthless ruler. Unlike Mary before the birth of Jesus, Moses' mother has received no prior promise that this child will be special. And yet, she goes ahead with her daring plan, for she has hope. No great ambitions, just hope for the life of her child. The writer of this story has given us readers a little hint that more is happening here than the rescue of one little life by a mother's hope-inspired ingenuity. The word basket, as most of our Bibles have it, translates the original Hebrew word teva, literally ark, the word used earlier in Genesis for Noah's ark. To point out that association, the King James Version translates, "She hid him in an ark of bulrushes." While God is not mentioned in this story, the attentive reader gets the message. A mother's hope and ingenuity leads her to a future in God's greater design. This child in a reed basket swimming on the Nile waters meant by Pharaoh to kill him and his like is being preserved by God for a purpose comparable to that of Noah. Moses' mother knows nothing of this. She simply acts in hope, and that is where we can connect with the story of Moses. Wherever a child is born today and the parents have hope for this child, not ambitious plans, just hope, there a call is extended, a call to a life that has potential for God's purposes. Of course, God's purposes can be achieved even where parents and family fail, but all of us, parents, siblings, grandparents, and the wider community, are invited to extend hope to each child for a God-serving future. And we adults, if we consider ourselves called to God's service, and we all are called, may reflect on the fact that often this call had its early beginnings with the hope that parents and others had for us, even in the darkest of times. Amen.
Thank you.
That was Blessed Trinity, sung by the CMU Men's Choir. With me today is Stephanie Duick, recently graduated from CMU. As a matter of fact, Stephanie was the valedictorian at the convocation in April 26th. Welcome to our program, Stephanie, and congratulations on graduating, first of all, and on being honoured by your class and faculty as the valedictorian at the convocation. That must have meant a lot to you.
Yes, it did.
Yes. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions at this stage. What was your major at CMU?
I graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in History and in Biblical Theological Studies.
And what led you initially to choose CMU among the many, many good universities in Canada and elsewhere?
I chose CMU partly because it offers an education in the Anabaptist tradition. And this is a tradition that I come from, and so it means a lot to me. And I wanted to explore further my roots in the Anabaptist tradition.
I realize you had to attend classes and do research and write term papers. I had occasion to set some of those myself along the way. What were some of the other influences and experiences that stand out as you reflect back on your time here?
One thing I think would be choir. I really enjoyed my times in the CMU Singers and in the Women's Chorus. I enjoy singing. It is both challenging and a lot of fun. And I have bonded with many of my classmates over some of the choir music. And choir tours are also always a fun communal affair with lots of singing.
Okay. Do you have some plans for your life after graduation?
I am planning on doing a pastoral internship this summer in Vineland, Ontario. So I'll be working at First Mennonite Church with Carol Penner. I'm looking forward to that, just exploring the pastoral field.
It's been wonderful having you on the program, Stephanie, and I wish you well in your future.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Here are some upcoming events at CMU in which you may be interested. June 29th to July 10th, the Canadian School of Peacebuilding courses at CMU with guest lecturer John Bell from Scotland. CMU's multi-sport summer camp will be happening again this summer. The summer camp is for boys and girls, grades 3 to 12, beginning in July and through to August. To register, call CMU or visit our website. CMU's Community School of Music and the Arts offers individual music instruction in all instruments and voice to children, youth, and adults. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin and our website at cmu.ca. You can also call us toll-free at 1-877-231-4570. In Winnipeg, call 487-3300. Or you may listen anytime to the program on the CMU website at cmu.ca and follow the links. That's our program. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education at CMU. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, R3P 2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, may God bless and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.